Okay, we're running late this year. With Epiphany, that is. And the arrival here at 99th and Amsterdam of the three magnificent kings. Or the wise men, the magi. They should have been here last week. At least by Wednesday, liturgically speaking. But perhaps those kings got lost along the way, took a wrong turn. When the star maybe seemed too dim, and they lost the path. Or maybe they had to stop a minute to catch a glimpse of what was going on in the world as they passed by to say some prayers or be with the people of Ukraine or Gaza or Nigeria or Syria or the United States. Did the camels get tired, maybe? Or did they need a minute to lament yet another violent incident along the way, a beloved child of God lost? Did they fear an invasion, crossing a path of danger, not sure they could make it at all this year? Coming from the east is a long way and treacherous. Could they have been stopped at the border, held up for questioning? After all, they were Zoroastrian, not a familiar religion, even in a multi-religious country. Or maybe there was a travel ban imposed, and it took a while to get a new passport. Thank heavens, though, here they are. Now, and with the baby, the manger, Mary, Joseph, the shepherds somewhere, the townspeople right here. The nativity is complete. And to be fair, even if you had gotten here on time, in the church, as in most places, the best time to celebrate is when the people actually come to church. That would be today. So, welcome, Magi. Thank you for the gifts you bring, and most of all, for your persistence, for your courage in completing the journey, even under very adverse local circumstances. And most of all, we give thanks for the story we get to tell once again in your name. One that we tell so that we too might have the courage to follow a star and lay our own gifts of love and grace before the Christ child, and indeed to share them with one another. The events we remember today, of course, come from the Gospel of Matthew, which Deacon Marcia just proclaimed. And like the pageant from a few weeks ago, the dramatic appearance of the Magi has been slightly updated and poetic license taken from what we had in the Gospel. But the truth is, we don't have much information about what really happened. And that Gospel of Matthew is the only book in our biblical canon which actually has the story. And here, too, the facts are still contested, speculation abounding among biblical scholars. Were they kings? If so, what realm? Were they wise men? What kind of wise? Magicians? Could there even have been some women? And were there really only three, or maybe four, or 10, or 12? How'd they get their names, and why those gifts? And what about the star? Some even say it would have taken 2 years to get to Bethlehem, so by that time Jesus would have been a toddler. Astronomers, theologians, scientists, geographers continue even today their investigations without much certainty. But in the midst of this unknowing, this journey of the Magi has become a cultural icon, the stuff of myth and legend and of course, humor. The hymn at the procession, so familiar to us, was written in 1857 by John Henry Hopkins, an Episcopal bishop. But you may also know the song I sang in elementary school, which included something about a loaded cigar exploding. Or more recent Yuletide greetings that I've gotten in my mailbox with some stereotypical humor, noting that if there had been three wise women, they would have asked directions, arrived on time, helped with the birth, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and above all, brought practical gifts. Some of us, even with our own home nativity scenes, reenact the coming of the Magi. One day, Balthazar in my home was on top of the fridge, Melchior peeking out behind a bookshelf, Casper stuck in the elevator. Some unseen god, or perhaps family member, moving them from place to place until they finally were perpetually lost or did indeed arrive at their home destination of a manger scene. The Epiphany drama, the Magi, the Kings, is worldwide. It's a worldwide Christian event in all those places where Christians celebrate. Parades throughout whole cities, kings and others with gifts, dressed to the nines and processing in the street. We do, of course, know something about the political situation of Jesus' time. It was not pretty then either. Herod the Great, whose census and registration that Mary and Joseph were a part of, and which precipitated a revolt a few years later. And then, of course, any persecution to any who threatened his rule. All the more to remember these foreigners who were welcome at the manger. But the truth, the real truth of the Magi story lies not in its literal accuracy, but rather in the witness they offer to us as we journey in our own lives, which too may be sometimes treacherous, fearful, taken longer than we hoped, with all the joys and sorrows that daily life can bring. Indeed, there is something iconic about this long journey the Magi take to come to a place they did not know, to follow the star whose direction was unclear, and for what purpose they weren't entirely sure. Somehow, however, knowing there was a promise of good and new life on the other side, which gave them courage when times were hard. We belong, each of us, to this story too. Each of us is invited to make a courageous decision at some point in our lives, to say yes to following a star in our own time and life and faith journey. Poets have written about this too, not unlike those parades in the city. The first modern one I will remind you of is that of a poem that Longfellow wrote. It reflected his own rich times, and he had a different perspective from the others. This was 1850. His was a rewrite of Matthew's gospel. The star was beautiful, large and clear, that all the other stars in the sky were dimmed in the atmosphere. He describes the wealth of the kings, their three caskets of gold with golden keys they brought, their robes of crimson silk, bells and pomegranate and furbelows, their turbans like blossoming almond trees. Not so long after that, T.S. Eliot, reflecting his own time, 1927, reflecting also T.S. Eliot, reflected the hard times coming in his own journey of the Magi. The way was deep, the weather sharp. The very dead of winter, the camels galled, lying down in the melting snow. The camel men cursing and grumbling. The night fires going out, the lack of shelters. The city's hostels, the towns unfriendly, the villages dirty, charging high prices. A hard time we had of it. And at the end, preferred to travel all night, sleeping in snatches, with other voices singing in our ears, "What folly! Why do you this?" 20-some years later, Langston Hughes gives us a voice of hope. 1945. Of the three wise men who followed the star, one was a brown king from afar. They brought fine gifts of spices and gold, of jeweled boxes of beauty untold. Three wise men, one dark like me, part of Jesus' nativity. He reminds us that all of us belong, all of us. So we aren't running late at all. But in the midst of and belonging to this ancient story, even as we create our own, just as these young people brought the kings and just as the kings themselves were models coming forward, we too are just those folks, embarking on our own long journeys, choosing whatever stars may guide us. And then a way station could be right here. Yesterday at a search committee meeting, which we'll hear more about later, we were reminded of that journey by hearing and being reminded of what's on the front of our bulletin. Wherever you are in your journey, you are welcome here. And so we are invited on this journey together to persist in love in the face of evil, to be reminded that this is the time God makes for us, to reenact the courage that was given to us by him and by these travelers, to bring our own gifts of love and care and food and clothing to one another. For that is indeed what the gospel itself reminds us, and that is the example that the Magi have given to us now and again and again and again. Amen.